Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today is Paula Rizzo. Paula Rizzo is an Emmy Award-winning TV producer in New York City and founder of the productivity website listproducer.com. Paula is also the author of the newly released book, Listful Thinking, Using Lists to Be More Productive, Highly Successful, and Less Stressed. Paula Rizzo attributes much of her success to her compulsive list making. Join us for a conversation about how making lists and checklists can help you be more productive, successful, feel more peaceful, and enjoy life more. We'll also be talking about how making lists can help you live your music. To connect with Paula Rizzo online, please visit her website, www.listproducer.com. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I first saw your book in, I think it was Linda Joy's Aspire email in January.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the book and I loved the title, Listful Thinking. And I also loved the cover. It's colorful and it got me thinking of it being a creative thing. And one of the things I think you addressed in the book is that some people think that making lists makes them not as creative. But
yeah, exactly. Like you'll lose your edge or something, you know, but that's the total opposite.
Yeah, it's so true. In fact, there was a book I read a long time ago called 20 Ways to Be More Creative in Your Job. And one of the things that he pointed out in there is that people had this vision that to be creative, that you had to be messy and sloppy and disorganized and all these things. And actually, he pointed out that in order to be your most creative, it really is helpful to be organized. And
well, yeah,
he talked
that's
about
it.
I mean, can you imagine a chef if they didn't know where everything was when they're cooking dinners or any of the other kinds of people like that? So,
Yeah, no, it's definitely helpful. Lists are a way to sort of, you know, keep your mind in order, and then you can use all that brain power for all the creative, you know, ideas and all of that stuff. You can actually set that stuff into motion. Once you have it all on your list, it actually makes you more creative.
So true, so true. I've found myself using lists again a lot more since I've been reading your book, and I just have to say thank you for writing that book. Oh, my gosh. It got me back to remembering how many lists that I've made in my life and how much it really has helped me be more successful, more peaceful, all the things that you're saying that it can do. And I even finally typed up a checklist for this show.
Nice. Good. See, it's just one of those things that, you know, when you continue to do the same things over and over and over again, just sometimes having that checklist, that go-to, because, you know, things change and you'll get distracted or there'll be, you know, any number of things could go wrong or happen. But just being able to have that roadmap to go back to, it's just so helpful. And, you know, I don't need to even think about this anymore. I'm just going to look at my list and that's going to tell me what I need to do next.
You're so right. It does free you up to be more creative, and it makes you feel more peaceful. And for the benefit of our listeners, though, I think it was really helpful to me to even realize from your book that there's a difference between lists and checklists.
Sure.
So if you could tell us a little bit about that, that would be great.
Sure. So, you know, traditional list, the list everyone thinks of is the to-do list. So that's a list of tasks. But a checklist is really a list of steps. So all of the things that need to get done, like let's say for your show, right? All of the elements, all the things that need to happen. And there are very, in ORs, doctors use checklists to stay on top, surgeons, to make sure that there's no errors. And so these are highly skilled people, you know, I mean, they know what they're doing. But sometimes things happen. There's distractions, that kind of thing. Same thing with airline pilots. From the beginning to the very end of a flight, like even before you leave, there's 13 checklists that a pilot will go through to get you to your destination safely. And the reason that's there is just it's a safety check. You know, it's all of the things, okay, check this, check that. And these people, I mean, are trained to do this. But the checklist just eliminates the human error. And just having that piece of paper to sort of guide you through, certain things are easier than others. But what if you're having a particularly stressful day, or you're anxious about something, or you're afraid about, if you have this checklist, you've done the preparation and the work beforehand, and all you have to do is follow through. And so for me, I have used checklists in the past at work as a TV producer, and then I saw such value in it that I started using them at home as well.
That's great. I loved the story that you told in your book about how you hadn't had a checklist at one point early in your career and how you learned from not having one how valuable it was to have one.
That's true. This is the teleprompter story, I'm guessing. This was my very first television job. Was a small station on Long Island, and the intern at the time, it wasn't me, but I was an intern there, did not turn the camera teleprompter on. So when the anchor turned to the camera live during the show, there was no words. So everybody was like, oh, my God, what's going on? And, she stumbled through and, made it, but, everybody got reamed right afterwards. And so from there, a checklist was put out. And so every single night before the show, you had to check every single, thing to make sure that your camera was working properly and all these things. And it's such a simple thing. It's just a piece of paper, but the benefits are so vast.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely got it after I saw that. And I had been thinking, because of so many of the time management people thinking, mm-hmm. Thinking of it as being just a to-do list and tasks and, oh my gosh, it would just get me overwhelmed. And I love the way you talk about in the book about how there are different types of lists. And one of the things, though, before we get started, though, how did you become such an expert on lists?
So my dad was a big list maker, and so I always sort of found, my inspiration through that. As a kid, he would always make lists before we went on vacation of all the things that needed to be done, before we would leave the house.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
He had a garden, and it was sort of like he had his checklist for the garden and all the things he needed for, to buy and all the things, all the different plants mm-hmm. that he wanted and all these things. And then it kind of rubbed off on me, I guess, but it didn't really come through until I started my career. And then that really kind of solidified it for me, and I started to really use lists every single day to stay on target. And it's a lot of my training from TV that just wore off on me, I guess, because in television you have a rundown, so you always know what's coming next in a live show.
Mm-hmm.
You have every single thing kind of worked out, how much time you're going to allot to each thing, and so I started to think of my day in that way. And then I would have a list of all of the things that I needed to make sure to get to. And sometimes I'll assign time, time cues to it. Like this, I know it'll take 15 minutes, or this will take, mm-hmm. let me do this after lunch because this is not one of those things I like to do in the morning, or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. That reminds me of what Abraham Hicks calls segment intending, where
mm-hmm.
you're intending those segments, what you're going to do with those segments of time.
Right.
Yeah, and it would make you really clear with having the list. Now, you also have listproducer.com. Why did you start that?
Sure. So I started listproducer.com about 4 years ago, and that all came from a checklist. I was actually looking for an apartment in Manhattan with my husband, and we were moving. And I was just so overwhelmed by the process. And, if you've ever looked for an apartment, especially in Manhattan, it's just, like, mind-numbing. And everything
mm-hmm.
looks the same. You walk through and you think, okay, that one was nice. Oh, that was nice. And then you leave and you're like, oh, I wonder, was that the one on the fourth floor? Or, did that one have a dishwasher? I'm not sure. And even if you write notes, sometimes it's like, kind of jumbled in your head. So I
mm-hmm.
made a checklist like I would at work. So at work, if I go to interview someone, I have a list of every single question I'm going to ask, of every shot that I need to get to come back to the studio with, And I have that list because distractions and things pop up. And I've done this job for a very long time. I know how to do this. I know what questions to ask. But sometimes there's stuff that pops up, and you need to be able to, you know, be able to refer back to that list that you prepared ahead of time. And so I did the same thing with the list in the apartment. And that way, when I walked through, it was amazing. It was just so much easier. I could ask intelligent questions, and I can, you know, look at my list and say, okay, well, we didn't get to this. Well, where is this, or where is that? Or, you know, okay, great. This has a great view, and it's really close to the subway. And all of the things that I really wanted to pay attention to, I was focused on. So I didn't have, like, you know, something shiny distracting me.
I know exactly what you mean, because when we first moved to where we live now in Greenbrae in Marin, we were renting a condo down the street, and we wanted to find one to buy. And so I would keep looking every time I'd go out walking or running. I would see if there was one for sale, and I'd go through it, and I started a checklist, you're right, of all the things that I knew I wanted. And when I would see something I didn't want in it, I would just turn it around to what I did and, you know, kind of revise the list. And
right.
The condo that we bought here in 1996 had everything except for one thing that I wasn't specific enough, but it got worked out.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Sometimes
but I know what you
writing
mean.
Writing things like, down, you know, that like sets an intention, gets you started.
Yeah. It's so cool how that works. And even finding the condo, it ended up being a neighbor of ours had said, oh, you know, I heard you were looking for a condo, and our friend's selling their condo down the street. You ought to go take a look at it. It's a really nice unit. We ended up getting it before it even went on the market.
Oh,
so
amazing.
And I know that a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was so clear by then on what our intention was. And put it out to the universe. So
exactly. Sometimes you need to work it out on paper first. You know, that's what I always tell people. You know, just write it down. And there's actually a study done that when you write things down, you're 33% more likely to achieve it.
That's definitely something good. Yeah. Now, what are the most important lists that you suggest that people make?
Well, I mean, to-do list for me, it's a must. And I do my to-do list the night before. So before I leave work every single night, I sit down and I think through. And sometimes I even do it, like, during the day, you know. As I think of things, I start creating that list for the following day. And it's all the things that need to get done very specifically. You know, every phone call I need to make, an email I need to write back to, you know, anything that's going to pop up for tomorrow, I put down on that list. And then that way in the morning when I come in, I'm able to just hit the ground running and just start. And look at that as my roadmap and my rundown to just start going. Because things are going to pop up anyway, you know, and at least I'll have that guide to keep going back to. So to-do list for me is huge. I love the idea of a bucket list, you know, or a life list, having all of your dreams and goals, whatever they are, you know, and whether you do that in list form or sometimes I like to make vision boards, you know, with pictures and all that kind of stuff. I think that exercise of being able to really just think big and put those things down is so helpful. Just, I mean, it makes you happy and it, you know, gives you something to look forward to and it makes you smile when you look at it. And I just think that's definitely helpful. And I really love gratitude lists. I feel like those are super, super helpful. There's a woman that I interviewed in the book who makes a gratitude list before she goes to bed every night. And there's a bunch of apps that you can use too. Happy Tapper is one where you can, you know, it will actually remind you every night to put down three things that you're grateful for. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be like, you know, the biggest to do. It could be mangoes are in season. And so you're happy about that and you write it down. But just to kind of get yourself into the mode of being grateful for things, because sometimes, you know, you get into a funk and you feel like, oh, today was terrible. And then when you look and you say, okay, let me pick out some of the things that were actually good about it, it turns your mood around. It makes you feel like, okay, actually, you know what, that wasn't so bad. I'm being a little dramatic.
Yeah, that's so true. It's so easy to get caught up in the drama that's going on and the busyness and to forget to notice and appreciate all the things that are right. And one of the things that I did that helps me remember to do that at the end of the day is I have on my iPhone, I have that app called Tell Me Later. know if you've heard of that. It's
no.
a cool free, I think it was free, or else really an expensive app that Cheryl Richardson told me about.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I put a daily reminder at 5:25 every day. It comes on and says, what do I appreciate?
Nice.
Or what do you appreciate? Yeah. And then I start, it's so funny because right at that particular time, I'm usually thinking, oh, yeah, what do I appreciate? And it kind of gets me back into that appreciation and gratitude mode instead of thinking about what maybe didn't work out the way you wanted
mm-hmm.
to or what else you need to do and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. No, I think anything that you can do to remind yourself of these things, you know, even tasks like when, you know, if I leave my desk at work and then I remember there's a to-do that I didn't write down on my list that's now
mm-hmm.
trapped inside my desk, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll set a reminder for the next day at some point so that I know that that will pop up on my computer. And I make sure to do it for a time when I'm not going to be in a meeting or I'm not going to be at lunch or, you know, at an optimal
mm-hmm.
time where I'll actually be there to see it. It'll pop up and then I'll add it to my to-do list. It's not that I'm going to do it right then. It's that
yeah.
I'm going to add it to the list and you know, just pause for a second and add it to the list. So I think that's, you know, one of the issues is that people just react and just start, you know, okay, the phone rang, let me just pick it up and start doing what this other person told me to do. And I always
mm-hmm.
tell people, just pause. Just give
mm-hmm.
yourself a second, like a beat, you know, to instead of just doing that thing, finish what you're in the middle of and write down the next thing you're going to do or, you know, whatever it is, just to be mindful of that second before you jump into a second task.
So, yeah, I also like that you said in the book that you even make you don't answer the phone unless you have an appointment to talk to
mm-hmm.
that person. And that made a lot of sense to me, too, because there's so often that happens for us, we'll end up getting a lot of calls that are just telemarketers.
Yeah.
And they just
yeah.
interrupt your train of thought while you're trying to do something productive and creative. And so, you know, I love the idea of not answering the phone unless you have an appointment to have talk to that person then.
Yeah, it just throws off your game, you know. If it's an interruption, really. And so I look at it as it'll go to voicemail, that person
mm-hmm.
will leave a message, and then I'll get back to them over email and say, hey, you know, got your message. You know, I can talk about this at this time, or that time, which one it works for you. And then at that point, we'll talk on the phone. I'll pick up the phone. But that way we're both focused on this task. You're not half doing something else. I'm not half doing something else. We're both looking and being focused on just this one project. That's all that we're doing. And there's no
yeah.
multitasking going on, you know?
Yeah, that seems like a really wise idea to me. I just have to say back, though, to the idea of the vision boards and the life list. I love that you talked about in the book calling it a life list, because that's what I had already in my own mind. And in
mm-hmm.
my book, I think about, I've written a book, I don't know if you're aware of it, but
mm-hmm.
it's called The Art of Living a Life You Love. And it's basically about living a life you love. So you have to visualize and imagine what this life would look like. So, of course, making a vision board, having a life list, all that is just so perfect. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, our books go really well together. I realized
yeah.
after I was reading your book, oh my gosh, my list,
mm-hmm.
my book has all these incredible lists in it that remind me of things that have helped me live a life I love and can help other people. But also, it has lists. I designed it so that people could write lists in it, so they can write
mm-hmm.
their top seven values, so they can write their dreams in there, and write what they would do if they only had 6 months left to live, and
right.
you know, things like that. So, yeah, it was funny because I didn't even really realize how lists have been such an incredible part of my life, and how come I'm so happy until I read your book. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's funny because I feel like a lot of people say that. They'll say, like, oh, I didn't realize I am actually a list maker. You know,
yeah.
it's not just about the to-do list. And that's what I think people really focus on when you say making lists. But there's so many other things. And, I'll say, oh, well, you know, what's on your bucket list? Or what's on this? What's on that? And, you know, did you make a list when you felt upset of all the feelings that you were feeling? Yeah, I did. And it's like, all right, you're a list maker, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and when you said about your dad – making the list before you go on trips. I've been doing that for years. I have a binder, in fact, that I call TRIPAK, T-R-I-P-A-K, which is lists of what we brought for all different kinds of vacations, whether it's Maui, the one time we went to Europe. So if we ever get to go again, I remember what we'll want to bring for that. You know, and every time we go on a trip, even if it's for a weekend, like this weekend we're going to go see my aunt and uncle up in Arnold and go to Bear Valley and ski for a day. And, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I can just look in the list and see, oh, yeah, I have to remember to take these things for skiing and this, you know.
Right.
These,
For people who travel a lot, it's really it's amazing because when you start forgetting things and show up to a wedding without your dress or shoes or that kind of thing, then you're going to see the value in lists, you know, because people think, oh, I'm not going to forget and I don't need a list. That's like a crutch. But the truth is you want to use your brain for other things, you know, more important stuff, not to remember to remember stuff. And so even, you know, all kinds of trips you can benefit from not only making a packing list, but also, you know, sort of an itinerary or things like a goal list, right? If you're going to a new city, here's the five things I really want to make sure I get to, you know, and then that way you'll be able to refer back to it and say, hey, did I get to all the things I really wanted? And it just makes for me, a much more enjoyable trip.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. Even when we're over on Maui, which is our favorite place to go for celebration vacations, we haven't been there for a while, but, you know, it's definitely the place that I always want to go. And what's on the cover of my book is a sunset photo I took of Maui. But even when we're over there, even if it's really simple things like to relax and to hang out by the pool and whatever, it's still, you know, you have a plan of what you want to do, a checklist of things that you want to remember to do and how much you want to enjoy it and appreciate it while you're there.
Right. Like that's, you know, not something that I hate getting to a place and then start to look through a guidebook. Okay, where should we go? What should we do? I'd like to do all that preparation beforehand because then it's even simpler when you get there. You know, you've already gone through and said, okay, here's five restaurants that got really great reviews. So you don't walk into a restaurant just without any review, and then you feel like, oh, we wasted so much time and money in there, and the food wasn't even so great, you know? And, of course, you can get, you know, good reviews from the concierge or whoever, but I like to just take the guesswork out of it so then I can just go and enjoy.
Yeah. Now, in the book, you talked about different ways to make your list. And I agree with you. I like using a paper and pencil or paper and pen. And then there's also all the different digital file ways that you can do it. But what do you recommend the most?
Well, I use both. So I was very anti-iPhone, very anti-app at first, because I just didn't know any better. That's the truth. And so once I kind of got into it, you know, I wrote a whole chapter just on digital apps. And there is definitely a place for it because we're super busy. We're always running here and running there. And what was happening to me was I was forgetting my list or I wasn't able then to take it with me and I needed it in more places than one. Like, sometimes it doesn't work just being in your desk drawer, you know, if you're on the go and that's not how your job or your life works. And so I use different apps for different things. You know, Evernote is one of my absolute favorites, and it's a great place, almost like a filing cabinet, just to keep any information that you feel like you need to remember. It could be recipes. It could be, you know, articles that you want to write. It could be your tax information, trips. I always put a lot of trip stuff in there. I actually wrote most of my book in Evernote because it syncs with a website. So sometimes when I was on the subway and I would have an idea, I would be able to, you know, type it in into the app, and then by the time I got home, it's already on my computer. It's already there. And so it just made, you know, capturing information so much easier. Wunderlist, W-U-N-D-E-R, is great as just a to-do list, just to have, like, items, you know, itemized. And then, you know, I also have apps just for books. I have apps just for restaurant, you know, reviews, places I want to go for restaurants. Because much like your keys, you know, you people forget where they put their keys. It's the same thing with lists. You want to know where to access them. And so if you keep your keys, in the same place every day, you know exactly where they are, right? And so the same
right.
thing with these apps. When you use, you know, one to-do list app or a book app or a restaurant app, you know where you're going to find the information when you're looking for it. And you know exactly what you're going to find when you get there.
That's a really great point. And, you know, you're right about the iPhone, too. On that, I have the calendar on there, and so I'm able to put on repeating things that I need to do
mm-hmm.
each week also, and then see it on there, too, to remind me so that I don't forget. So you're right. I definitely use a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Paper and,
it's hard not to.
Excuse me, and digital.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
Wow, the time is almost over. I knew it was going to go really, really fast. And before I run out of time here, I want to say that next week on Wednesday, March 25th, 2015, I'll be hosting a special show, and it's going to be a tribute to Earl Nightingale of Nightingale Conant Corporation because he's been such an incredible teacher in my life. And I'll be posting the link for it on Facebook, and also you can get updates from me by signing up for my newsletter at margojoydenader.com. And I want to remind all the people out there listening to think about, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limits and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, I really feel, Paula, that your book and making lists and all the great ideas that you have in there can really help people enjoy their time on this beautiful planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And they can find out about your book and how to get it on your list producer website, right?
Yep, exactly right, listproducer.com.
Yeah, listproducer.com. And then are you on Facebook or Twitter also? Or
everything, yep. It's all under List Producer.
Okay,
Instagram,
cool.
Everywhere, yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they can just get that there. Oh, and, you know, I wanted to say I love the quote of Oprah's. You have that list of quotes of Oprah's in there. She's also an incredible teacher and mentor and person
absolutely.
I just adore in my life as well. And that you have that quote, you become what you believe in there. And I have to, that was so funny. I saw that and I went, oh, I love that quote. And then I remembered I used it in my book in chapter two.
You did? Oh, I love it.
It's the pull quote for chapter two of my book because chapter two is about what you believe. And so the first chapter is about imagining your life as you want it to be. And then the second chapter is called What You Believe Creates Your Version of Reality, you know, because it really does. I mean, if you have a whole bunch of limiting beliefs, that creates your reality. And so her quote is the one I put as the pull quote at the front of it. You become
what
you believe.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I mean, it really just rings so true, you know. If you believe it, it really... In so many ways that I look back in my life, and I'm like, wow, that's because I wanted to do it. You know, that's because that's why that happened. I made that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, we only have less than 2 minutes left, so is there anything else really short that you want to tell people before we go?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things about to-do lists and lists in general, they tend to run people's lives when you start to use them and you get kind of rigid with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to feel anxious about them or feel like, oh, you know, I didn't get to the end of my to-do list, and now I feel like a failure, and so everything keeps going to the next day, to the next day, to the next day. There are ways to not have that happen and set yourself up for success. And sometimes you need to just let go of some of the things on the to-do list and realize, you know what, I'm never going to get to this, and that's okay. You know,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
I need help doing this, and so I need to ask somebody, I can't do this, or this is too big of a task just for one to do, like write book. Like that's an enormous to do, you know? So don't get like upset with yourself if you don't cross it off. There are so many steps, and sometimes just taking that one big thing and chopping it into littler, you know, small pieces, it really is helpful.
Yeah, you're so right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I am so glad I read your book, and I highly recommend everybody get listful thinking, and it will give you so many great ways to have fun making lists and to be creative with your lists and get more things done and feel more happy and peaceful.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Paula. Thank you for being on my show. Bye for now, everyone. Have a wonderful week.